Good morning.
Good morning.
And the Lord loves us. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
One of the words that you did today, a single word, and what was a word we may never paid a whole lot of attention to, but it's a real strong word, and that word is Menno, M-E-N-O, M-E-N-O, and it's a strong concordance gives a definition for this word, and it says it's primarily a verb, but it means to stay, to abide, to continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to remain, to stand, or to tarry. And in the Greek lexicon, I'll read what it says. It says to remain and abide. And it says in reference to a place, it means to tarry there, not depart, and continue to be present. And in reference to time, it means continue to be, not to perish, to last and to endure. And of a person, that means to live. In reference to a state or condition, it means to remain as one and not become different. But this word Menno is mentioned 100 in one reading I read after it, it's mentioned 120 times in the New Testament, and another reading I read that is 121 times. So let's kind of stick that number in our mind, 120, 121 times. And I'm going to just kind of, I got a list of them all here, but I just want to read through these, some of these, and see where we're coming from. John, they're all through the New Testament, but John really has a lot of them. And I'll start in John 1:32, and it says, like a dove, and it abode upon him, or Menno, and he said, John 1:33, the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same, that's Menno. And John 6:56 talks about communion, eating his flesh and drinking his blood, dwelleth in me and I in him. Or, you know, that word dwelleth there, that's Menno. You know, we've been doing a lot of that lately, and it's paid off, hasn't it?
And, amen.
John 8:31, it says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. And that word continue there is Menno. And John goes on. I'll just read out, 15. It says, no more can you bear fruit except ye abide, and that's Menno in me. And it goes on, no more can you are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him. That word abideth there is Menno. And it says, if any man abide not in me, and that word there, abide is Menno. But it says, if you abide in me, Menno in me, and my words abide in you, that's Menno there. Ask what you want. And it goes on, he says, continue in my love. And that word there, continue, is Menno. But it, all through the New Testament here, we see that word Menno. And John says, you shall abide in my love. That word's a Menno there. And that your joy might remain. That word right in that remain is Menno. But here's one in 1 Corinthians. And now abideth Menno, faith, hope, and love. And Hebrews 13:1 says, let brotherly love continue. And that word continue is Menno there. So y'all see how powerful this word is and where it comes from. And then over in 1 John, it says, he that loveth his brother loveth the light, and that he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and that abideth there is meno. But in this word, meno, you kind of think that's a strange word, but I want to paint you a picture right now to help us in that word. And
David, spell it again, David.
M-E-N-O.
Spell it again for the people just coming on.
M-E-N-O.
M-E-N-O.
Okay, now, like I say, that word is 120 times or 121 times in New Testament. But I want to add a word to that. Ra. And now this, don't go wrong when you're thinking here, but ra means evil or bad. And that word is only in the Old Testament, and it's 60-something times in the Old Testament. But if you put these words together, menorah, you kind of get the picture there, don't you? This light. You know, if you ever been to a wedding, you know, and they light the menorah, you know, and that light shines. And, you know, I'll read what Jesus said here, or John said here of Jesus in the first chapter of John, it help us. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. See, that menorah, when that menorah is lit, the darkness can't comprehend it. Mm. And then we have Jesus give us the Holy Spirit to push back that darkness. And you know, last night during prayer, you know, when the Spirit come there in the book of Acts, it says those tongues was as fire. And I want you to think of that fire that's setting up on top of that menorah burning. And the reason it burns is because that oil that's in that menorah that keeps that light burning. But there in the book of Revelation, though, Jesus, before he spoke to the church, it said that he stood there in the midst of the menorah there, you know, in the second chapter of Revelation there. But he, before he addresses the church, we see him standing there. But the menorah, really, a good definite, well, the menorah is the Spirit of the Lord, just to be honest with you. A menorah is a picture of the Spirit of the Lord. And,
amen.
And in Isaiah chapter 11, it gives us a good picture. You know, it talks about the Spirit of the Lord, wisdom and understanding and counsel and all that. Mm-hmm. But when we get back in church, I'll be glad when we get back in church there.
Yeah.
But the Lord has shown me, I have to show you it on paper, but when God created the heavens and the earth, you know, it says that God is so precise and such a beautiful, perfect pattern that he works in and all. But in God's creation, when he created the heavens and the earth, he created it in the order that Isaiah spoke about wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. God created the heavens and the earth in that order by the Spirit.
Wow.
and over in the book of Revelation, when he speaks to the church, he speaks church in that order too. If you study it out, you can see it. He speaks to the church in that same order.
Wow, that's a blessing.
This word is phenomenal.
It is.
But I just wanted to share that with you this morning, everybody. This morning, if you get a chance, study some on the menorah. It'll bring great light. I mean, how it's designed, you know, it's made of solid gold, and it's just a beautiful thing. But I just can't wait till we get back in the classroom and look further into this.
Oh yeah.
And see the light.
Amen.
You know, Jesus, he said, "I am the light of this world." And then,
yes.
You are the light of this world. Amen.
Amen.
Where that light is because of the Holy Spirit burning in us and those tongues of fire praying in us. And, you know, this word, it just connects all over. And,
man,
share that with you and say this about prayer. You know, we've been praying here on Friday nights several weeks here, but, you know, we do not really realize how much darkness has been by the prayers of the saints, how much darkness has been pushed back and you know.
Amen.
Prayer is a powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
yes.
I'll turn it over to Brother Thurston there, and I'm sure he's got a good word from the Lord from us this morning.
God is good.
Thank you so much, David. Amen. And that unity prayer is so powerful.
Yes,
when we unity together.
Found them.
Amen. United prayer is powerful.
I want to begin with prayer this morning. And dear Lord, I thank you that you're in our midst. I can feel your presence. I love you. Lord, help us to go forward in you. Bless every comment. Bless every speaker today. You know, work through me, Lord, help me to be like a tool in your hand. Help me to fully yield to the Holy Spirit to speak your perfect word. And Lord, bless us to go forward and bear your light, representing you fully in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, I surround the whole, every listener, every Fresh Start listener, and everybody who's listening with love and with faith and with peace. Lord, help us to go forward in you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, the Lord did give me a word this week, and he helped me to see something I never saw before. You know, I love the Lord, our God and King, and he makes things plain. And I had some concerns, so when I have concerns, I ask questions. So when I ask questions, the Lord replies. And the Lord has been dealing with me about his soon return, his imminent return. And I'm like, pleading the case of the church. I said, Lord, it seems to me that the word has not been preached fully, like in a lot of people that would do better. And if they heard the word better, they would do better. And I still believe that. But he said, I have to return. But he said, the light that I have given, there are people that broke through it, which means that we all had the same amount of light, but some broke through when others didn't. At the church that we go to, everybody there has broken through some background. They broke through the worldly barrier, the denominational barrier. They wanted more of God, and they sought him out and received more. Then they wanted a deeper relationship. So that and the Lord has been speaking all the while. And some people didn't break through. So I wondered why. And he took me back to Laodicea. And he showed me something that I didn't see before. You know, the Lord named seven churches, beginning with Ephesus, then Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. What these cities have in common is we're looking at the city when all along the enemy sent a principality over each city to undo, to try to prevent what God was doing. slow down what God is doing or even stop what God is doing. And some people broke through. The five wise virgins broke through when the five foolish virgins compromised. And because of the compromise, they become like the spirit of that jurisdiction. Now, when Daniel was praying, trying to get answers, the prince of Persia came, the king of Persia came, and tried to stop him. He had to go on a 21-day fast. He broke through and got his answer. What every jurisdiction has a demonic principality over it, or a fallen angel over it, to stop our progress. And the Lord was teaching me about this. If you know what to watch out for, you know what to fight, and you know how to fight it. When you follow through with what God speaks, you're like the five wise virgins. You persevere. Now, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, John said here, "And he hath made us kings and priests unto God, and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever." Let me read that again. "And he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever. Amen." Now, when John saw, turned to see Jesus, he saw him in his glory. And he said, "And I turned to see the voice," this is verse 12 in chapter 1, "and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle, and his head and his hairs were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire." So Jesus could see everything. "And his feet were like unto brass." He's unmovable. "And if they burn, and as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters." He has the authority. "And he had in his right hand," now watch this, "seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword." So we're weaponized. "And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Fear not, I am the first and the last." When we look to Jesus, we become just like him. He said, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." In other words, you're covered. The price has been paid. The mountain, the law, has been made plain to you. So he said, "Amen." And have, he said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." Then he said, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which thou which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." Now watch this. "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks." The seven stars are the angel of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So now many people have said that the seven stars are the pastors of the churches. They are actually the apostles of the churches, because it's not just one church. It's all the churches in that jurisdiction. Now, when he first began to talk about Ephesus, he said, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and who walketh in the midst of the seven candlesticks." He's talking to the man that's sanctioned. The seven stars represents the sanction. They are sanctioned to do God's will in the earth and take back what was stolen. The seven apostles that he sent forward to these seven churches, they have the sanction of Jesus. And the seven, and all the churches will look to them, and if they follow God and operate just like Jesus, then the church will too. And they have an enemy, the principality, over that jurisdiction. So then Jesus showed them look at what's happening in verse 2. He said, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. In order for this to happen, you have to have partaken in a relationship with the real apostles. There's no way to know a person's a liar, a counterfeit, unless you know what is true. So they knew the Lord because that also represents that the angel of that church was perfectly representing Jesus Christ, because when the liars came, they knew it. And then they detested evil. They couldn't bear evil. The thought of evil was detestable to them. It was just like Lot living in Sodom and Gomorrah. He hated that. It vexed his spirit, and they were vexed. And so, as they continued forward, the Lord showed them what to watch out for, because they had begun to be battle weary. He said, "Thou hast borne and hast patient, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted." So they were still standing. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." The battles in life are designed by that principality to attack your first love. The enemy's trying to undo you. The principalities and powers, they work through people. They don't like to come themselves, because they're trying to be clandestine. They're trying to be hidden. And the way people treated them, and the way people worked against them, the Jews, the Gentiles that didn't know better, that were in pagan religions. You know, you see what they went through in the book of Acts, how they had trouble everywhere they went. That was a pushback from the principality all along, which was sent by Satan. But they have the sanction of Jesus. So if you keep your first love, no matter what, how I have been very tired, I've been behind in my work, I have been in about every miserable condition, but because of my love, I didn't know I was going through something. In other words, when you love God, you have a purpose, and the obstacles are not real. They're there. You're steadily overcoming them, you know, but because you have a purpose, you're doing what you do because you love God. You stay vibrant in Him. The life of God is alive in you. You have the life of God when you have the love of God. So that all the principalities was trying to shut down what was making them tick. Remember, the enemy, he knows how things are supposed to work, but he rebelled against it. So that he uses his old knowledge to try to hinder us. But the good thing is, he has to fight us on our level. And he can't fight us on his level. He has to fight us on our level. But he's no threat. If we love God, he's you know, he's just like smoke. There's nothing to him. Everything that he does is a lie. Now, in Ephesus, the enemy was trying to undo what was making them strong, but Jesus gave them the answer to keep their first love. He said, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." So the seven churches had to get on board with the apostle, because he's talking to the candlestick again. And the brunt of life was on. But see, when the brunt of life, not the brunt of life, but actually the brunt of death is against you, because life comes from God, death comes from the enemy. When the brunt of death come against you, you rise up with the love of God and conquer it. The Lord will always give you wisdom. Daniel, I told my son the other day that Daniel didn't say they that are knowledgeable will be strong and do exploits. They that are well educated will be strong and do exploits. But they that do know the Lord their God, they will be strong and do exploits. Even if you just got saved, if you know Him, if you live in His presence, He can tell. I gave him a real simple example. You know, doing mechanic work. If I say, "Don't do that," this will happen. I say, "You won't do it because you trust me." All right? But if somebody said, "Don't do that," and you didn't trust them, you might do it and get hurt. It's the same thing. when you trust the Lord, and the Lord can tell you not to do something, and you trust Him enough to obey Him, no matter what the enemy throw against you, God will give you what to say. If you're in a courtroom, you can, if you say the wrong thing, you can end up in jail without bond. But if you have enough sense to follow the Holy Spirit, you will walk out of there that day and do His will in the meantime. See, this is where we're strong. We don't have to know everything. We just have to do what's appropriate at the moment. And when you know God, you'll follow through with what He say. Now, there are people who broke through. There is a thriving revival happening, not just right now, but it started years back. The Lord has, he told me things, some of the things He's doing in His people. I have gotten good reports, just like we always get evil reports. The enemy is trying to undo what God has done. There are Christian people who did love God, who had a first love. They didn't do what Jesus said in any of these seven churches. Now, this is written specifically to the seven churches, but it's written down for our example, so He's talking to us too. Some people have not just not done something, one of these things. There are some Christians that break every one of these commandments continually. So, but some people, they had ears to hear. And that's the theme of what Jesus said. But first, the first theme is keep your first love. The second one is have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I'm talking to you. This is your way out. If you trust me, you won't get hurt. If you trust me, you're going to have great rewards. You're going to be blessed. But when people go with that, see, when a person has problems, they're being leveraged. The problems are designed to look bigger than God in your eyes, just like Goliath. He was, you know, Goliath was dependent on the way he looked more than his capabilities, even though he was a fighter and a warrior from his youth. He hated God, and he was trying to take as many people to hell as possible. And he subdued the giants. They subdued the Philistines, and they had that. They were afraid. The enemy can run your life if you fear him. That's why God didn't give us the spirit of fear. That's an evil thing to give somebody. God is not evil. But perfect love cast out fear. Just like Will Smith used to throw his friend off the front porch in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Same thing with love and fear. Love will throw that fear right out of your life. Fear is, it'll give you a false allegiance. And the enemy will leverage you with it against God. He always leverages you against what God is saying. So our strength is to have ears to hear and love His people. When all of the principalities that the enemy sent to attack the stars and the candlesticks with the seven churches, all of them tried to get us to shut down the light, stop doing what we do. Cold religion played a part of it, and the spirit over Jerusalem that He sent, the religious spirit. All these things work together to do the same thing. Now, remember when the lame man got healed in the book of Acts and at the beautiful gate? The enemy wanted to stop this. This is too good to be true. We can't have that. So, but the man, he didn't just get saved and walk around. He leaped and danced and rejoiced and praised God all over the temple. But look at what Cold Religion had to say. And he said, now this is Acts chapter 4. Verse 4 says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Am I right? Yeah. I'm going to come on. Feedback. Verse 7, it says, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, or by what name have ye done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. You know, he's talking to people, but you know what spirit is behind this. All right. If we this day be examined of the good deed done unto the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at nothing of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, when you live in Jesus' presence, miracles will be a natural part of your life, because the Holy Spirit will be able to rest on you. This is your heritage. All we have to do is yield. We don't have to work for it. We pray and we break through because the enemy is trying to stop us. But if the enemy didn't fight us, it'll be easy. We just got to get better at breaking.